Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Today on Holy Smokes Catholic Review, William and I will review the gospel from the fourth Sunday of the season of Lent and also a conversation with Father Jimmy Marshall.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Thank you, Scott Chapin. Father Scott, Holy Smokes Catholic Review, all by myself. But you know what? Some years ago, somebody invented this thing called the telephone, and it's still popular today. So William is going to be on that telephone in a little while, and we are going to be talking about the gospel reading from the fourth Sunday of the season of Lent. Also on the phone and waiting, Father Jim Marshall. Okay, so we're happy to have him. He's going to be telling us how he's coping with the coronavirus. Not that he has it, but the exile that we're all sort of having to go through. So how we're coping. It's difficult. But somebody on Fox News the other day mentioned how during the Second World War, we Americans were called into battle. Here we're just being asked to sit on the couch for 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, I think we can pull that one off. But we have to heed the advice from the experts. Okay, let's not be hanging out on beaches in Florida, friends, or on mountaintops or home parties. Okay. If we do go outside, and it's a good thing to go outside to get exercise, okay, just either by yourself or a small group like you and your family members, okay, but it is good to be outside, but, you know, you hear about these parties on the beaches or in the mountains, there's these big groups of people getting together to celebrate whatever they're celebrating, you know, it's just stupidity. That's just stupid, okay, and selfish. All right, stupidity. We don't need stupidity. We need wisdom. We need wise people and holy people also, of course, praying, which leads me to encourage you to continue to pray every day. Listen, you know, although you cannot attend Mass and receive the Eucharist, you can still make a spiritual communion because Masses are still being celebrated around the world. I'll be celebrating Mass later today myself. So Masses are still being celebrated, the sacrifice of Jesus still being offered up to the Father. You can pray the rosary every day. You can pray multiple rosaries every day. Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You can read your scripture. You can go online and get on Formed, okay, and download the app and watch it on TV. There are Christian movies, Catholic movies, Bible studies, lectures, kids programs, cartoons. You can get on YouTube and watch Fulton Sheen. There's all kinds of different things you can do, but continue to pray. Most important thing, and heed the advice of the experts. You know, the president and his team around him, Dr. Fauci, And let's listen to them. We got to listen to them and do as they tell us. If we do, then we can beat this thing. If we don't, then we're going to have some problems, okay? So we got to continue to pray and heed the advice of the experts. Now, before I call in Father Marshall or before I get him on the line, of course, he's just waiting. But, you know, there's this, first of all, this thing about St. Corona. Have you heard about St. Corona? And this was like last week. Oh, St. Corona, she's the patron saint of epidemics. No, she's not. She's the patron saint of superstitions involving money and treasure hunting. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means. But in any case, she's a real saint. Her name was Stephanie. Stephanie Stephanos is Greek, meaning crown. And crown in Latin is corona, hence St. Corona. But no, not the patron saint of epidemics. You can read about her. Just go to, you know, any Catholic site or Wikipedia will have some information. And it's pretty correct on St. Corona or St. Stephanie. Posted on Spirit Daily. The Pope is asking that on the 25th, which is the feast of the Annunciation, that we all pray at 12 noon, the prayer of the Our Father. And then also there's a special, and this is posted too on Spirit Daily, a special indulgence for the praying of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. All right, so let's continue to pray and hunker down and please God this thing. You know, we all want the Lord to sweep this thing away. The sooner the better. But I was thinking, wouldn't it be, I mean, think about if on Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection, this thing just disappeared. Wouldn't that be something? So, any case, we want it to be swept away by our Lord much sooner than that. So, let's continue to bombard heaven with our much-needed prayers. So, let's go to the phones now. And Father Marshall, James, how are you?
I'm fine. And you, Father Scott?
No, I'm hanging in there, man. You know, just trying
yeah,
to...
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying not to get...
I can.
Yeah, yeah. Try not to get too bored.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So yeah.
The quarantine thing is a different experience for sure.
It is. But, you know, I was just mentioning before I got you on the phone how in during, think about it, World War II, we Americans were called to go fight the Nazis and also the Japanese. Okay. But now all we're being asked to do is sit on the couch for 3 weeks. You know, okay, I think we're up to the task.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough. I think that most people are. I mean, there's obviously still some people who are resisting the, you know, the recommendations, right? They don't see any threat to themselves. And unfortunately, they don't think about the people they might affect. That's, you know, but that, I think that's typical.
Well, that's not only stupid, it's selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't realize they're taking disease back to grandma, you know, or to grandpa.
Right.
All right, so what are you doing?
They might not even know it.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you coping? What are you doing as you, you know, confine yourself to your home?
Oh, you're asking what I'm doing personally?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No, I'm finding more time for prayer in my life. I now have the luxury of that time that I haven't had in the past, so I want to take advantage of it. I go to the church and I'll spend as much time as I want to in front of the Blessed Sacrament and pray. I am celebrating Mass daily, alone, for the most part. I mean, sometimes people sneak in, but from now on, that's going to stop too.
Yeah, no more of that.
The truth is that I'm trying to use that time constructively and not waste the time that I can spend with the Lord.
Right. And you're also praying probably more rosaries and Divine Mercy Chaplet, spending more time in scripture, I'd guess, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially the rosary. I mean, I've always loved the rosary, and it's been an important part of my devotional life. And reading, like, say, time to actually read the scriptures and reflect on them in a way that, you know, you're not, you know, because when we're priests, you know, we're reading the scriptures for the Sunday or for that weekday, and you're trying to construct some kind of a homily to give people So you're kind of, I don't know if this is a good way to say it. You can approach them in kind of a utilitarian way where, okay, I'm going to get something out of this and that's it for the other people. Of course, it's always the fruit of what our own reflection is, but this is a little different.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier before you came on that, you know, the Mass, we continue to celebrate the Mass. So this is not like, you know, during the Bolshevik Revolution when, you know, priests were rounded up and thrown into jail. They were forbidden. There were no Masses. Churches were shuttered. So we're not there. Okay, so Masses continue to be celebrated, and the people can still, you know, join and unite themselves to the person of Jesus in the sacrifice of the of that Mass that is being celebrated near them. Okay, and so the graces continue to flow, and so I'm going to be doing a Mass here in a little bit. I know that the Sunday Mass, just to let you know that, you know, it took me... It took me like an hour and a half or something just to celebrate the Mass because, you know, I had time to reflect and after receiving communion, just to sit down and spend like 20 minutes in prayer before I concluded the Mass, you know? So the point I'm making, is that, you know, the Mass continues to be celebrated. Graces continue to flow. And so Jesus is we continue to offer Jesus to the Father.
Amen to that, and I'll be celebrating Mass here pretty soon too. I keep the church open from early morning. I don't, you know, it varies the time when we open it up, but it's unlocked until 6 o'clock in the evening so that people can come and pray. But after the doors are locked, then I go and celebrate Mass as well. And you know, it's the greatest prayer. It is the prayer, right, of all prayers. And there's so many, like you say, so many graces that flow from the celebration of the Eucharist itself that is helping and strengthening the faithful and holding back the evil one.
All right. That's a big thing, you know, because the evil one is working through this in a vicious sort of way. So, yeah, that's the point. You know, we got to pray to push his efforts back, you know. You know what would be kind of cool is if, well, we want this thing to end yesterday or right now, but could you imagine if this thing were to just suddenly on Easter Sunday, the virus just suddenly just lifted, ended, it was gone, just disappeared? Wouldn't that be something?
That would be awesome, you know, that people could come out on Easter Sunday. You know, I mentioned to you that I was rereading or listening to the great spiritual treatise by Father Walter Chizik, and it was called He Leadeth Me, and it's a reflection, his spiritual testimony on his 22 years of imprisonment behind the Iron Curtain in the Soviet Union. You mentioned the Bolsheviks, you know, and how they suppressed Christianity and Catholicism specifically. And he relates an episode in his life there when he was able to celebrate the Easter vigil for the people of this Siberian town, and how all of them came to this Mass that lasted from the time the sun went down until the next morning.
Wow.
He was distributing communion, and it was one of the most powerful experiences that he had ever had as a priest.
Wow.
And the people were leaving, and they have a way of saying Christ is risen, Christ is truly risen, in their own language, which is really very beautiful. And that, and you would hope that something like that would also inspire a new fire of passion and love for our Lord.
You'd think so. And let's pray that happens. Let's pray that the Lord uses this to bring about the conversion of many, many hearts.
Yes,
that's what we need.
Absolutely.
Need to see that, you know. Otherwise, we just get back to normal. Oh, people talk about, oh, we'll go back to normal. Well, what? Our sinful ways? Because that's not good. You know? It's not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, I just want to bring up this point, too, that, you know, and it's sad. And you know, this virus and the flu kills 30,000 people every year. On average, I think, and car accidents and stuff. But here it is, you know, and we humans, you know, still more people will be put to death by way of abortion than what this COVID-19 is going to do.
That's so true. And we're going to such a grave evil that has to be eradicated.
And we will
do anything
to stop it.
Fulton J. Sheen said it, that we're all of us under the judgment of God for this. And while you say, and truthfully, you know, that God does not send evil, God does not do evil, the reality of chastisement in everything, you know, that that we may experience in a negative way as a way of, again, bringing people to conversion. Because as the scripture says, you know, the Lord does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he turn and be converted, right?
Yep.
And that's what we pray for.
Exactly right. So that's why we want to, let's not waste any time. We've got hours now to pray and to turn to the Lord and repent and believe in the gospel. You know, we heard that at Christmas time. So let's turn and let's repent. Well, not at Christmas time, but on Ash Wednesday, you know, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. And by the way, that's when all this stuff started happening, it seems.
That's right.
You know, for us,
that's
anyway,
right.
For us.
That's when our country started to experience the effects of this thing.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem to be have any ending real soon.
No, it's going to be a while. I don't think we're going to have... We're just not going to have Easter masses as it is now. I already canceled my order, the Easter lilies. I canceled the order. Not going to happen.
This also affects our collections and, mm-hmm. you know, not to talk, you know, think about talking about money at this time, but, you know, we have our, we have to keep the electric, you know, the lights on and the water running. And there's things that have to be paid for. And we realize, you know, that the hardship, we have to share in everybody else's hardship too. But
sure.
We do need the support of the people and just as much as ever.
Okay, so I think I'll let you go now because I got to get William in here and we're going to be talking about the gospel and stuff. So anyway, hang in there and keep on praying and keep celebrating that Mass. And hopefully it'll be before long that we're back out on a golf course smoking cigars.
Amen. Hey,
amen
Scott,
to that. Yeah,
Father
bud.
Scott,
yeah.
I just wanted to encourage people who listen to this. Rediscover the devotions of the church. If you haven't been praying the rosary, if you haven't been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet or going to the Stations of the Cross, these things have been around for a long time, and they have lasted through time because they're effective and they help us in our faith, but they also strengthen us. So,
well, look,
yeah,
you know,
rediscover the faith.
Our Lady has, you know, proven powers. I mean, come on, study the Battle of Lepanto,
right?
And see what the Rosary,
about the Rosary,
see what that the power of the Rosary can do.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe we get you on next week, you know, and stuff. So,
sure.
And anyway,
sure.
But this is pretty cool, huh? This technology with the phone. It's called a phone telephone.
Yeah, we can do this, right.
Telephone. So I got a microphone hooked up to just sitting next to the phone receiver.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you're far away, but I can understand you. So
yeah,
give Will my regards.
Hey, don't touch anything. Don't touch anybody and stay home and hunker
down.
Right.
God bless, Scott.
Thank you, buddy. So I really like what Father Marshall just said about rediscovering our devotions into the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because many Catholics have let these things... I know many Catholics who don't even know how to pray the Rosary or who know nothing about the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So it's a good thing. This is time to do it with all this time we have. And I mentioned earlier, Formed. You can go on Formed. You can get the app. You can play it on your TV. If you have Roku or you have, say, Hulu, you can just, you know, download or the iTunes or the Apple TV, I mean. And you can get the app, put it on your TV. You can watch it on TV. Pray the Rosary with the people. Also on YouTube, there are people praying the Rosary and all over the place. So rediscover these great devotions that we have as Catholics that have been around for a long time and, again, are proven. The power of the Rosary is proven. The power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet is proven. All right, so let's continue to pray and let the graces flow and ask our Lord to bring an end to this virus. Okay, so William, we got William now on the line, and the same means that we had Father Marshall is a phone microphone set up next to a phone receiver, so... somehow it's working, you know, I don't know. It just seems to be working. So it's not the best thing, but hey, you know, by the way, that cough you just heard, okay, that's not coronavirus. That's a padrone virus. So I've had it for a long time now. So now that I've given up cigars for Lent, hopefully that'll go away. William, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. We got a little bit of a delay, and it's kind of hard to hear me. I had Father Marshall on earlier, so he had a little bit of a difficulty hearing me. So there's going to be a little bit of leeway or a little, you know what I'm saying? A little, it's like, you know, a delay. Does that make sense?
I got you. Yep.
Okay.
That's right, because I am not in studio today.
Yeah, I know. Well, nobody is. Me.
Yep. Right. We are adhering to both the recommendations by the World Health Organization, by the President of the United States, and Governor Lujan Grisham. We are, in fact, social distancing here at Holy Smokes. So this is a new thing for the both of us. So.
Yeah. So are you doing okay? Is your sanity all right? I know you've been locked into your apartment.
Yeah, my sanity is holding in there, hanging in there, I guess, as much as it possibly can be. It's been hard, I'm not going to lie to you. I've been, you know, other than even last week when you and I recorded together on Sunday, other than that, like, I really haven't left my apartment for about a week. I've run some errands, sure, I've got groceries, sure. I have, you know, I try to get outside and go for a run every other day and whatever just to get outside. But, like, yeah, yesterday, Sunday, I didn't leave my house at all.
Yeah, you got to get outside.
You know, so
you got to get outside. Yeah, it's very hard, but you got to get outside.
You know, I think there's a lot of grace in this stuff, too. You know, I think that, like, it's, as I mentioned last week, it's giving me a greater appreciation for the mass and things that I had when I wasn't in isolation, you know. I know that Father Scott, you had a recorded mass that a lot of people really loved, and it was great. Father Michael's been doing live mass. Monsignor Ron's been doing live mass. There's a lot of stuff that I think, you know, in this time I've found has been little bits of nourishment and staying close to people, even despite this social isolation. So.
Well, you got to just be tough. We've all got to be tough and just keep praying. And please God that the collapse of the economy doesn't happen. That's what we really got to worry about, too. You know, I mean, that's, you know, 3 months. I can't even watch the news anymore. I get so depressed, you know. So
I know.
We
I know.
3 months without. If we did this 3 months, there goes the country. It's over with.
Yep.
So, we got to do something. What?
And how are things for you otherwise in isolation over there at the rectory?
Well, yeah, I've had my moments, but I'm doing all right, you know, trying to keep a sense of humor and keep praying and just hoping the Lord, right? So what else can we
still
do?
Still holding strong with no cigars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't believe me, do
what?
You? You don't believe me, do you? Did you hear me? Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. So, how are you doing with your cigar ban?
Okay, that's what I just said. I said I'm good, but you don't believe me.
Oh. Well, good. I'm proud of you. Good job, man. Doing well.
Yeah. So, looks like I picked the wrong time to quit smoking cigars.
What?
I said, yeah, I look like I picked the wrong time to quit smoking cigars.
I know. Seriously, this is the most Lenty Lent of them all.
Yeah,
you know?
I've never
something I've thought about for the past, again, it's like either this is the greatest Lent ever or it's the worst Lent ever. I can't tell yet, you know?
Yeah.
This
right.
is really tough. I just saw that this past week at the Vatican, the Congregation for Divine Worship issued a supplement for Easter liturgies Easter liturgies with no congregation. So this is a truly unprecedented situation across the globe, and you know, we certainly pray for the health of our leaders and bishops and things like that, and also for wisdom and guidance through this time, because it's just everybody's scrambling trying to figure it out. I in fact just saw 10 minutes ago that the Archbishop of New Orleans tested positive mm-hmm. for coronavirus, so it's here. It's
now
here
the,
for
now
sure.
the positive thing though is that most people that get this are going to recover. You know, so
right.
So that's the positive thing. Is there going to be long-term damage? I don't know. I don't think they know. No one knows yet, but most people will recover. That's the good news. But the deal is, the reason for this separation is because this thing, this virus is so easy to catch. And, you know, we're going to overwhelm the hospital system. It's already being overwhelmed. But you know what? I'm telling you, we're going to see people are pulling together, and we're going to beat this thing down somehow. We got to. We have no choice.
Hopefully, like you said, hopefully quick, and then we can knock this thing out, be done with it quick. You know, I know it's tough. You know, I haven't really been close to my family for about a week now. Mm. You know, because my family, like many other families, has people who are high risk. You know, we talked about a couple of months ago, my dad had a really intense surgery, really major surgery. And so that's scary. That's scary to potentially, if I became infected or didn't know I was infected and have been hanging around him for a while, you know. I also take care of my grandmother quite a bit, my 86-year-old grandmother. I help a lot with her. So that's tough. I can't be around her for a while, you know. So it's something that, that's definitely hitting and affecting me. But, you know, like everyone else, you just roll with the punches and, you know, put your nose down and keep going, you know.
Right. What else can you do, you know? But prayer is our greatest weapon. I'm telling you, we got to pray. And Father Marshall, we had on earlier, and he makes the point that we need to rediscover many of our traditions, prayer traditions, like the rosary. Many people don't pray the rosary anymore, you know, so many people don't even know about the Divine Mercy Chaplets. This is a time to rediscover and to discover these things and to start praying them. Yeah. Become devoted. Right. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So do we want to launch in? We don't got to do a cigar review, obviously, unless you want to. I don't. Have you smoked anything?
Trying to think if I smoked anything new. I have smoked a couple cigars. I had this little Cohiba cigarillo that was gifted to me as a it was just a gift a couple of weeks ago by a friend of mine. And so yesterday evening, this is crazy, by the way. So downtown Albuquerque, I didn't realize this because usually, you know, I go to mass Sunday evening mass over at St. John Vianney. And so I guess on Sunday afternoon, there's like this ton of like these lowrider cruisers down Central, bumper to bumper, as far as I could see up either direction of Central. It was absolutely crazy. And so I went out on my patio and I cracked open a beer and lit up that little cigar and watched the cruisers for a while, for hours, from like 6 p.m. until 9. These cruisers are going up and down. It was just absolutely crazy.
That's pretty fun.
So that's kind of the context of where I smoked this little Cohiba. And man, it was delicious. It was such a good little smoke. It was a quick little, probably 20, 25 minute cigar. It was just like a nice little thing to do. And there's a little Cohiba cigarillo. I'm not usually one for cigarillos, but it was mighty tasty.
Oh, good. Is that it then?
Yep, that's what I got.
Yeah, even in our captivity now, we still get to do cigar review, at least on one, you know? So staying true to our name, right? So, yeah, okay, so let's just launch into the, it's going to be a very short podcast, you know? So, you know, what can you do? By the way, you know, you know how this is working? So I have the phone receiver. I have a microphone up against the phone receiver. And that's how we're recording you.
Yeah.
That's
I can tell from my end. I was telling Father Scott off air that he sounded like a million miles away.
Yeah.
So.
That's why Father Marshall is funny, because I'd say something and he'd be like, huh? What? What? I had to do a lot of editing.
Was he on the podcast as well, or was he on the phone?
Yeah, he was on the phone earlier.
Oh, that's funny.
Just a few minutes ago, actually. So.
Cool. That's awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to do the short version of the gospel. It's a very long gospel.
Yes.
So I just want to do the short version, okay? It's from John 9, 1 through 6 through 9, 13 through 17, and 13 through 38. Okay, you ready? All right. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which meant sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they brought the one who was born blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can the sinful man do such things or such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." So they answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin and you're trying to teach us?" And then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. There you go. That's the gospel.
Amen.
What do you got?
So I think firstly, something that I find interesting always is I always find it interesting how Jesus kind of questions the status quo and kind of puts these things back into the Pharisees and into the law, right? So out of the gate, we hear about this man who's born blind. And so then when the disciples ask him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And that's because, and this is something that still kind of exists, I think, in a different way today, but I think back then it was definitely more prevalent. But the idea was at that time that if somebody had any kind of like physical ailment, if they were crippled, if they had something like that happen to them, it was because of this curse, or of some sort of sin, ancestral sin that was passed on hereditarily. So that's kind of the context of this. And I love what Jesus' response is to them. He says, "No, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him," right? So that way the works of God, which is Jesus Christ visiting him and Jesus Christ healing him, may be made visible through him. I think the other piece, too, that I find interesting, and I can't remember where I read this, but I read this past week, and it wasn't the Lanky Guys, at least I don't think it was, full disclosure. I read it somewhere else, but it's significant that Jesus spits on the ground, because I think at first, in kind of our Western minds, we hear, especially during coronavirus, right? We hear about somebody spitting and it's like, "Oh, that's gross. That's, yuck. that's disgusting." Right. Mm-hmm. But that's significant to all first century Jews because the spit, the saliva is coming from the mouth. So they believe that the saliva contained the breath. And as we've said before on this podcast, the breath to first century Jews is important because the breath is the spirit. Right. So by Jesus spitting on the ground, he is conferring the breath. He is conferring his spirit into the ground, into this earth. And so I think that's really powerful. And that kind of helps us wrap our head around this significant moment that it wasn't just a symbol. It wasn't. And this is also important, I think, for us as Catholics, because we talk about things like sacramentals of holy water, of things like even the Eucharist. Right. That these are not just symbols, that they are powerful realities, that there is something changed in their very essence. Right. And so I think this is kind of Jesus' way of lending to that and kind of showing us an example in scripture of his saliva having effect and having powerful, having spirit within it and the power to heal.
Well, I mean, come on. Jesus uses, think about like you mentioned sacramentals and sacraments, the use of water, bread, oil, touch, and here Jesus uses his saliva to make mud cakes and mud, mm-hmm. right? And the dirt. The Lord uses things, are common for our use. Okay. So, to bring grace, right? Hence the sacraments.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So what else you got on this? You're on a roll, pal. You're on a roll.
I missed that last piece.
I said you are on a roll.
What? You are what?
On a roll.
Oh, I heard. So I think the other piece that is important for this as well as a reflection point for me is that, so what does Jesus tell this man? He tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And I think that that's important. I don't think that John just writes things into his gospel willy-nilly. I think everything John writes is important. So these pools that we've talked, you know, these pools are mentioned other times in scriptures as the pools of healing. There's these different pools where people would go and wash themselves for ritual cleaning. The angel of the Lord would descend. They were the healing pools. But I think it's really important that this guy was sent to the pool that means sent, because what does this guy do, right? He becomes a sign. He becomes a sign to the Pharisees. He becomes a sign to the people. He becomes a sign to the Jewish people of the healing, of the power that Jesus possesses. So I just think that's a really interesting kind of tertiary piece, I guess. But
Now, I would say this, okay? So I would say this, that, can you hear me? You got me okay? So, you know, the fact that, you know, Jesus, you know what, and on, you know, practical level here, that Jesus has the power to heal, to give sight to the blind, okay? And, you know, with the, in the midst of this coronavirus thing that we're fighting through, you know, perhaps, you know, we've closed our eyes to God in so many ways. We've closed our ears to Him, our hearts to Him. Maybe He's opening our ears and our eyes and our hearts again. That's maybe He's going to use this for that purpose, to bring us to conversion. You ever think of that? Mm. That's a possibility.
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that's exactly what's going on here. And I think that's also kind of throws in the context Ephesians, right? The second reading. Because what you just said is straight out of Ephesians. So at the end of Ephesians, it is St. Paul, and he's quoting, I think, in the first reading, right? The first reading is where it has this quote. But anyway, so St. Paul is quoting the Old Testament here when he says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So this is not something that is just meant to recall to our minds this individual who had the saliva and the earth mixed into his eye. No, rather, this is a call for all of humanity, right? This is a call for all of us to snap up, snap out of our slumber, snap out of our sloth, snap out of our lethargy, you know, and see what's right in front of us, you know, see what's been there this entire time. For 2,000 years, St. John Vianney has this great quote that says, you know, that Jesus Christ has been waiting 2,000 years in that tabernacle for us to come visit Him, you know, and that's what we need to bring. I think that's really what we need to bring into our hearts in this Lenten season when we're striving for the sacraments, you know?
Well, I brought this up with Father Marshall. Doesn't this seem like, you know, this is, or maybe you brought it up, this is really feeling like a real Lent, you know, what we're going through. You know, I was telling Father Marshall, too, wouldn't it be great if suddenly on Easter Sunday this virus just disappeared?
Oh, man. That would be amazing.
Well, talk about
hopefully
a sign.
Before Easter Sunday, maybe Holy Thursday.
Wouldn't that be, we can attend. A sign.
My favorite liturgy of the entire year, the Easter vigil. That would be nice.
Yeah, so talk about a sign, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so cool. Well, what else? You got any? I really don't have much on this. You know, because I've been kind of watching TV and schlepping around, and I heard curbside confessions yesterday. How about that?
How did that go?
That was fun. It was great. You know, people drove up and right there. And so I don't think I'll be doing, I'm not going to be doing much until, what is the lockdowns, like April 10th or something? I don't think that's going to be enough time, but we'll see. Please God, it is. So,
yeah,
but. No, it was just, there's going to be no adoration, nothing. No confessions, nothing.
Sheesh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Except Mass is still...
I don't know what to think about anymore.
Well, no, Mass is still being celebrated, and people can still pray in their homes. So every little house becomes a church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, we just got to keep praying. Wow. All right, you got anything else?
Yeah, I'm chewing through the long form of the gospel, and this theme I think keeps coming up to me about, and this is again something that we mentioned a lot on here, but just kind of the pride of the Pharisees through this whole thing, right? So this man becomes healed, he goes and reports this, he's sent Siloam to the Pharisees, he's there with the Pharisees, and they kind of question him, they interrogate him. They're trying to think of everything in the book to prove that this guy was not actually healed of his blindness, even to the point of saying, no, this guy was healed. It's all it's like a bait and a switch, right? this guy was healed. That's not the actual guy who was blind over there. This is somebody who kind of looks like him. He's swapped out. Mm-hmm. And so they bring the guy's parents. The guy's parents come. They're freaked out by the Pharisees. So you can already imagine the tension in Jerusalem is against Jesus is already building at this point, right? If these parents, if his parents are afraid to testify and say, yeah, this is my son, and he was born blind, if they're so afraid to say that basic truth, it just gives you kind of this context of how and, the political climate of when Jesus was crucified, right? So his parents are like, yeah, this is our son, but he's of age, ask him. So the Pharisees continually, after Jesus mentions in the opening lines of his gospel that this guy has not sinned and neither has his parents, the Pharisees, and it's interesting, just keep berating him. You are a sinner. Don't instruct us. You are a sinner, over and over and over again. And so they end up, they question him. They bring his parents in. They bring the man in to testify to the fact that he was born blind. And so eventually they get mad at this guy. They get mad at this guy for... kind of asking him like, well, this is real. Are you going to follow him too? Or are you going to become a disciple too? So they throw this guy out of the synagogue. And then they ask him, coming down to the last piece of his gospel. So Jesus hears that they threw this guy out. So he finds him and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him. The one who is speaking with you is he. So Jesus here is identifying himself as the Christ. And this is important, right? Because we recall to our mind what Jesus says to his disciples earlier in the Gospels. He says earlier in the Gospels, please, he implores them, do not tell anyone that I am the Christ because my hour has not yet come. So this is a significant turning point, I think, in the life and the ministry of Jesus, that he's telling people that he is the Christ. So we know that his hour is at hand. We see the political tensions rising, and Jesus is telling people that he's the Christ. We heard last week with the Samaritan woman telling her that he is the Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an important theme as well. So Jesus tells him that he is the Christ, and this man responds, I do believe, Lord. And this is so significant and so important, because what does this guy do? So he calls Jesus Lord. He calls him by the holy name, and then it says he worshiped him. He worshiped him. So this man who had his sight cured, had his sight restored to him, worships Jesus, right? St. John, the master of words, is not mincing words with this. He worshiped him. And Jesus's response, this is important too, right? Because Jesus's response is not, oh, whoa, 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 hey, man, hey, bro, get up, dude. What are you doing? Why are you worshiping me? I'm not the Christ, or I'm not the Son of God. I'm not God. Don't do that. Jesus doesn't say that, right? Jesus says, quote, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. So Jesus comes into the world for judgment. And we hear throughout the Jewish scriptures about God the judge in the end of times and in the apocalypse, right? So all this stuff is important. And again, I think as another example here in the sacred scriptures, testifying to the divinity of Christ.
Yeah. And those, by the way, are such powerful words. I've come into this world to give sight to those who believe and take away the sight of those who do or who don't. That's the quote, right? Pretty much. But that's powerful stuff. It's like, if your failure to accept and to embrace me, you render yourself blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and what St. Augustine talks about in the Office of Readings for that day is he talks about that the Lord does, in fact, give light and sight to the blind. And so he talks about that eye salve, the spit and the mud mixed together, that eye salve is the eye salve of faith.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So from Adam's stock, from our original sin, right, we're born blind from birth. And so we implore and beg Jesus to give us this light. So with using the eyes of faith, he opens our eyes of faith with that saliva in the earth. And then St. Augustine ends up quoting, truth has sprung up from the earth, and I am the way and the truth and the life.
I
think it absolutely fits in.
Right, but which, by the way, all comes from grace. You know, faith is a result of the grace that God gives us, but it's up to each individual person, because of free will, to respond to say yes to embrace, to collaborate and cooperate with that grace that God gives. Did you catch that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure you caught that, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
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 This delay thing is a lot of fun, I got to tell you. So, all right. Is that it? I mean, we get pretty good stuff right there, you know, I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't help but kind of compare and contrast, you know, this Sunday's gospel with last Sunday's gospel of the Samaritan woman. And I kind of mentioned this last week, but it's just so interesting to me to see the different responses to people and to, you know, both the first century Jews and the Pharisees and the Samaritans with this kind of message and encounter of Christ, right? The Samaritan woman ended up spreading, you know, she was sent as well, right? She was sent in a different way, but she was sent as well to her community and preached Christ. And their community accepted her, and the community welcomed Christ, and he stayed with them, and he preached to them and converted so many, if not all of them, right? And that was their response in the Samaritan, the Gentile community. And just contrasting that with what we're hearing today from this guy, a Jew, who's healed. He goes, he is sent into his community, and he preaches, and he becomes a messenger, becomes a prophet in his own way, right, of the good news, and how he's spurned and rejected and called a sinner by the Pharisees. Oh, you sinner, get out of our synagogue. Why are you even here? Who are you to tell us anything? You know, this intense pride overtakes the Pharisees, and they cast him out of their presence, right? They don't believe his testimony. They bring in other people to verify all these sorts of things. They don't trust him. And then that response in the Pharisees, that pride, that envy, that jealousy turns into bloodlust, right? And so I think that's an important trajectory and kind of important roadmap that we can take into our own lives. Is like, okay, you know, what are these sins? What are these prides? What are these self-obsessions in my own life? And are they potential road signs leading me to somewhere darker and to somewhere worse? You know, I think especially during this social isolation, this is a really important thing to ask ourselves and to kind of reflect on during this time that we have to ourselves, right? Is like, now that I'm actually totally, you know, in the thick of Lent by myself, what are these little road signs along the way, things that I can see that, you know, that I can catch a major sin before it becomes a major sin, right? So we hear about like the different spirits and attitudes. Pride is such a big one. Pride is huge. You know, if you ever become prideful in something, I think that's a really great first road sign to see that and be like, look, this is not leading me anywhere good. This is leading to bloodlust. This is leading to sexual sin. This is leading to, you know, anger, wrath, any of the deadly sins. All this stuff is really important roadmaps to really, really, really this week kind of dive into, examine, and break apart in our lives. Maybe it's like the family member that I self-isolated with, you know? I know a lot of people who are isolated or quarantined, you know, with their spouse, and they're having to be totally wrapped up with their spouse for, you know, the next foreseeable future. And that's hard, and it takes patience. Or maybe it's the kids, or maybe it's the elderly that you're taking care of, or maybe it's, you know, whatever it is, right? That these things are tests, and they're meant to breed grace. They're meant to breed patience. They're meant to breed understanding. But oftentimes we let these little things, right? These little kind of annoyances, these little day ins and days out, they kind of begin to pick, right? We begin to pick at that. And then all of a sudden the floodgates get let loose. So my encouragement to everyone listening right now is to see those little signs and roadmaps along this path of life. And how can you better respond to those moments of grace throughout your week?
You know, I just had this thought you know, when Jesus, you know, we're celebrating Lent. When we celebrate Lent, Jesus was led into the wilderness by himself. Isolation, solitude, you know? And we're there with him now. Every one of us, we're there with him now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a great point. That's a fantastic point.
Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, hopefully there's going to be some good news coming very soon, because we need it. We need some really good news coming from the medical community or something. Got to have it, you know?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We just keep praying,
amen,
praying and praying. So, all right. So anything you want to add to this before we wrap her up?
No, I'm happy. I just wanted to give a shout out to everyone who's still listening during this quarantine, and to everybody who liked that picture last week I posted of Deacon Dave, as promised.
Yeah, Dave was great.
Deacon Dave's a popular guy. I gotta tell you that, man.
Yeah, boy.
I can tell you right now, he got 30 likes on that Instagram there. So kind of fun. Benny Baca said that he said it was a very heart-touching podcast. He needed that. Thank you and God bless Deacon Dave. And then we got Phil Chavez, who very emphatically said Deacon Dave. He was stoked about us having Deacon Dave on the podcast. So, it's you know, a lot of grace last week. We were blessed to have Deacon Dave on the podcast. And, shout out to everyone who's still listening during this quarantine.
Yeah. So, but we got to keep praying. Don't skip praying to listen to this podcast. Pray first, you know. Keep praying. All right. So I just got a text from Ken saying that there is a way for us to we could do through, I guess, our system here, that we can actually do a three-way or a two-way or whatever, not over the phone, but through the technology of the internet. I'm not sure how. He's going to show me tonight. Okay, that's cool.
Awesome. That's great.
Cool.
That'd be great, yeah.
Because this delay thing, it's trippy.
We could loop Tony back in or get a special guest, you know what I mean?
Tony who? So who's that? Tony? Who Tony? Tony who? Who Tony? What Tony? Tony who?
Oh, stop it.
All right, bub. So, hey, let's wrap this up. SJVNM.org. And also, that's, you know, we're posting the mass. We got the Sunday Mass on there. Also, the Stations of the Cross. Don't forget Formed. And there's different ways, of course, to grow in your Catholic faith during this time of solitude. So, do all you can. Keep praying and sacrifice. Fast, too. Fasting is very important. Very, very, very important. All right? Say goodbye, yeah. Will.
Absolutely.
Say goodbye, Will.
So, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that where they can find us online.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, hey, send us some words of encouragement. Check in on us, and we'll give you a shout out on the podcast. You can email us at holysmokescatholic. You can email us holysmokescatholic@sjvnm.org. And please feel free to follow us on Instagram as well, at holysmokescatholic. And drop us a review on iTunes. We got a new review in, by the way, Padre.
We do. Can you read it?
We got a new review. So this is from March 16th. So last week, from Chris10DC88. So Chris said, great listen, 5 stars. Enjoy listening. Entertaining and informative with a good dose of Catholicism. I enjoy listening while I'm out walking my dog. People probably think I'm crazy because I'm laughing to myself while listening, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Proud to be one of the 5 listeners. Woo! That's awesome.
That's awesome. We're
happy, Chris, you're one of our 5 listeners, too. Shout out to you. Thank you so much.
All right, Will. Cool. Thanks, bud. All right, so wrap it up and say goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy. God bless.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN2PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.